God, thanks for this evening. Thanks for the chance to stop, to break the rhythm of whatever our week is and whatever busyness and stress comes with any day. And thanks for the chance to come here to reorient ourselves to you, to sing, to worship, to hear stories of people serving you and your protection of them. And thanks for the way that you protected Jen and Nika and others. And thanks for the chance we have to hear that and to see you in that and to recognize you. As we think a little bit tonight about what we'll be talking about for the next several months at least, I just pray you'd help to focus us and help to just help us to see what you might have for us and just to begin to open up to what you might want to show us through this time. Thanks that we can trust you to do that, and we can trust you to be here with us. In Jesus' name, amen. So who likes making decisions? Riley and Soji and Eusebius sometimes. Okay, I don't really like making decisions. I actually hate decision making. I think just the act of kind of trying to figure something out, for me, I think a lot of it comes down to the deciding for something is always deciding against something else. And so there's always the thing that you're turning down. There's always the other thing. And I'm always kind of looking out for what else is out there. So it's really challenging for me to make decisions. Life is full of decisions. I was trying to think as I was preparing for tonight how many decisions I made today. I think the first one was, do I snooze again? Maybe that was the second or third one. And then, do I get up? Do I shower first or eat first? Do I take care of this kid? Do I break up this fight? Do I do this? Do I go to church? Do I do this? What do I work on when I sit down? Do I check my email? Do I do something else? I mean, you're kind of always making decisions constantly throughout your day. And one of the unique things about parenting is you're constantly making decisions that you have like about a 10% confidence factor in. Like, you just have to like make a decision and then move on, and then something else happens and you have to make another decision. And it's just really, if you think about the number of times we have to choose something and move forward with something, it's just incredible. Most of them are small decisions. Most of them are just seemingly minor. But even those, I don't know about you guys, but even those regular things of how do I spend this time? You know, I've got an hour left before I'm going home. What do I do with that hour? Which things do I attend to? Which things do I not attend to? Which emails do I respond to? Which ones do I pretend I didn't see? You know what? How do you make all those little decisions? And then there's the big decisions, right? The ones that you spend weeks, months trying to figure out. Like, do I move to Kansas or not? Or do I take this job or not take this job? Or do I quit my job? Or do I date this person or marry this person? Or, you know, these big decisions that affect so much of our lives. And it's so easy with those decisions to get paralyzed and to say, I don't know how to move forward. I don't know what's right. And you talk to a bunch of people and you just don't know what's next, what the right path is. And so, you know, in thinking about this series, it occurred to me, well, yeah, young adulthood, like the stage of life that most of you guys are in is a stage of life where you face a lot of decisions. But then in thinking about it, the implication of that idea is that you stop facing decisions as you get older. And I realized that's just not true. There's always decisions, and they're always big decisions, and it never actually gets easier. So sorry about that. But there's always stuff you have to figure out. So I think this time for the next several months, we're going to start this now. We're going to go through at least December, and then we'll kind of look up and figure out if we want to continue on this or maybe take a different tack as we move into the new year. But at least for the several months, we're going to be focusing on how do we make decisions. And so I was looking up some, you know, if you need to make a decision, your first choice should always be to Google that, right? So I was Googling, how do you make decisions? And I found several references, none of which I'll particularly recommend to you. But there were some Christian ones, and there was like My favorite was on about.com. I love the stuff you find on about.com. There's like Christianity.about.com or something. It was like the Christian guide to making decisions and 10 easy steps to finding God's will. And honestly, it wasn't terrible. You know, it was like talk to people, pray, read your Bible. I mean, it's all good stuff, but it's this idea that there could be 10 easy steps to finding God's will is, I think, a little funny. And so as we think about this, this is what we don't want to do. We're not trying to figure out the formula for making decisions. We're not trying to come up with a list of steps that we're supposed to take when we're making decisions. We're going to approach this in a similar way that we approached the calling series that we did over the summer. Because I think that we, as people, learn best from stories. We learn best from watching, from observing. I think it's pretty rare where you sit down and make a decision and you think, okay, I have to decide what to do with my next hour, and you go to about.com and you find the 10 steps. Like, that's just not the way we work. We don't usually do that, even with big decisions. Maybe with, like, do I take this job, you might follow a pattern, but probably not even that. I think the way we work is we follow the examples we've seen. We do the things that come naturally. We talk to people. It's a much more organic process. So what we're going to be doing this series is looking at individual stories in the Bible at people making decisions and trying to see what was behind it. Now, what I want to talk about tonight, though, just to get us into it, is why decisions are hard and then what we need to face them. So what makes making decisions really hard? And I want to mention several things. The thing we're not going to do as we look at people's stories in the scriptures are to say this was a good decision or a bad decision, because most of those things will be obvious. So next week we're going to look at Eve's decision to eat from the one tree that she wasn't supposed to eat from. Bad decision, right? There's no surprise as to the quality of the decision. The question is, why did she do this? What was going on in her mind? What was going on in her heart? What would lead her to do this? And this is what we want to try to get at as we look at these stories, because what we want to try to understand is the interior motivations, the ideas, the fears, the hopes. What is it that drives these decisions that we're looking at? Because those are the things that drive us as we make decisions. And those are the touch points we're going to have with these characters. So the first thing about decisions is that decisions are complicated. I don't think that any of you have ever asked to have coffee with me and sat me down and go, Paul, I need a new car, and I'm trying to decide whether to steal one or buy one. Can you help me with that decision? Right? Nobody's ever done that. So if you want to, I'm happy to talk with you about that decision. It'll be a short conversation. But most of the decisions we face, they're not decisions between good and evil. Right? Most of the decisions we face are not decisions between good and evil. Most of them are between two different good things. And they're prioritizing good things, or they're deciding which good thing is appropriate at this time. Most of the decisions we make are complicated. So there's a passage in Scripture, Deuteronomy 30:19, where Joshua says this to God's people. Where am I? Here we go. 30:19. He says, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." These are the types of decisions we don't usually face. We don't usually face decisions that are clearly life and death. If you had a door marked life and a door marked death, would that be a hard decision? No. The decisions we face are complicated. They're usually, do I take this job or that job? Do I move to this place or that place? Do I get involved here or there? Do I spend time with this person or that person? They're decisions that aren't easily determined, and that's what makes them complicated. Now, you might say, I think sometimes Christians have a view of God's will that says, well, you just have to find God's will. Like, that's all, right? You just have to see what God wants for you. And there's this process of discernment to figure out, well, which path does God want me to take? And sometimes I think that that's absolutely accurate. Sometimes God does have a very clear path for us to take. I've experienced times where I felt God saying, this is the choice I want you to make. But if you think about all the decisions that I made today, I don't think God had an opinion about whether I should snooze for 7 more minutes this morning. Maybe he did, and maybe I'm just out of touch with God. But most of the decisions we make, I don't think, are the type that God has clear paths for us. Most of it isn't necessarily about finding God's will. Most of the decisions we make are about being wise, applying what we know, trusting God, maybe stepping out in faith. That's what most of the decisions we face are. So here's an example. I'm going to use several decisions that I've made as kind of examples through these. Most of you know that we adopted 2 children almost 6 months ago. So as we're thinking about this decision to do this or not, this was a really complicated decision. We already had 3 young kids. We were dealing with some kind of health and stability issues for ourselves at the time. And so the question is, well, is this what God wants for us? Obviously, adopting children is a good thing, right? But is it what God wants for us now? Is this what we want? And we did, in this case, feel God's leading, but we also felt like we had a choice to make. And we felt freedom to say, no, this is not what's wise now, or yes, this is what's wise now. And that choice has affected our lives forever, in the lives of 5 other people. So do we make a good decision? Do we follow God's will? I don't know. 2 good choices. And there's all these factors that go into that. Well, these kids need a home, but our children need attention. What if adopting kids takes attention away from our children? What if we just can't handle it? What if... And those are really good arguments. They're really good things to sort through. So how do you make decisions like that? This is why decisions are hard, because there's good things on both sides. The other thing that makes decisions hard is that we are affected by the culture we live in ways that I don't think we can even fully understand. So I have kind of a longish quote here that I want to read to you. This is from an audio journal I subscribe to called Mars Hill Audio, not associated with Mars Hill Church, but it's kind of like NPR, but Christian. So it's a Christian guy, and he interviews these different people. But listen to this quote. Cultures cultivate. A culture is more... You're going to get smarter by listening to this, by the way, okay? These are much larger words than I'm used to and you're used to, so hang in there. A culture is more like an ecosystem than a supermarket, and human persons, as encultured creatures, are generally less like independent, rationally choosing shoppers than like organisms whose environment predisposes a certain set of attitudes and actions. Cultures cultivate. Did you get that? So basically, what he's saying is that we're not like smart people making good choices. Most of the time, we do what we were taught to do, right? That's my easier version. It goes on. Cultures cultivate. So if we want to offset the influence of cultural systems that distort or misrepresent reality, we need more than good arguments that analyze the distortions. We need cultural alternatives that provide opportunities for participating in a different way of telling the story of human experience. For example, counteracting the materialistic reductionism of our time requires practices that convey to our imagination the coherent unity of matter and spirit, challenging the assumptions that human beings make. So you can't just talk someone out of a bad decision. You can't just say, we live in a materialistic culture. You guys, go be different. It doesn't work. What we need are examples. We need patterns. And that's what we're going to be looking at through this series. We are products of the culture we live in. We are products of our families. We are products of the people we hang out with. We are products of the entertainment we watch. All of this shapes us so that it's really difficult to know, how do you live differently than this culture? And yet we know as Christians we are meant to live differently. And so Romans 12 says this. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Easy enough, right? Just don't be conformed. Just live in a culture, but don't act like them. That's easy, right? It's not easy. How do we separate out the values that we have as culture, as a culture, and our personal values, or our biblical values? You guys came from Haiti, and they live completely differently there. I'm sure a lot of you guys have traveled to other countries where standards of living are totally different. So, is it always wrong for me to go and spend $4 on a coffee in the morning? Like, that's inconceivable in some cultures. So does that make it wrong? But I live in a culture where that's normal. How do you sort that out? How do you figure those things out? For us, one of the ways this came up, and one of the things a decision we made as a family that to this day is a little, I have some trepidation about or some hesitation about, is that about 2 years ago we bought an old ski boat, and a lot of you guys have been on it. We took a boating trip, but kind of owning a boat seems like this category that is different, right? It's like this, it's a luxury item. It's this thing. So was that right to do or not? I don't know. We prayed about it. We had some extra resources because of the generosity of some of my family members. We're generous with our money. We give a lot of it away. We had money for this. So is that okay to spend money on that, or is that not okay? What does God think of this? And it's hard. I don't know. Maybe God is really disappointed that I've spent money doing that. I don't think so. I think God has given us the freedom to do that. But it's not the type of decision that I would say, I know for sure that God is pleased with this. And yet sometimes you have to go in faith and make decisions even when you're not totally sure. Did that decision seem okay because I live in a culture where that's okay? Or did that decision seem okay because God's given me the freedom to do that? Those are hard things to sort out. And those are the types of decisions we face every day, particularly with finances and time and energy. How do you make decisions apart from our culture? So we live in a culture, and that makes making decisions tricky. The last thing that I think makes decisions tricky, maybe not the last thing I'm going to talk about, is that we usually overestimate our ability to follow our decisions. So it's very easy to make decisions thinking that we are going to be able to carry forth this decision, when in fact that often doesn't happen. So I've made this particular decision about 100 times. I get home from work and we have time as a family and we have dinner, and there's several hours between the time I get home and the time kids go to bed. And at times I can be distracted by technology. I know that comes as a great surprise to you. But checking email or looking at my phone or something. So often I've told myself, okay, from now on, from the moment I get home to the moment the kids go to bed, no electronics. And that lasts a week or two, or, oh, I just got to check email, I just got to do this, and it falls apart. So what do we do about that? Does that just mean that we need more self-control? That we need to just buckle down and work harder and make and really fight for our decisions? Or maybe do we need to make decisions that take into account our weaknesses and our tendencies, and sometimes be wise about setting boundaries that we can keep? I don't know. But our ability to follow through with decisions also makes the decisions we make complicated. So three things that I want to point out make decisions hard. Decisions are never easy. They're never black or white. We're rarely choosing between good and evil. Decisions are influenced by the culture we live in, by the things that we absorb. And our ability to follow the decisions we make is sometimes very limited. So I'm going to suggest that we need two things. And this is the idea that we're going to be going on for the next several months. First of all, we need examples. We need what this really smart person with big words called cultural alternatives that provide opportunities for participating in a different way of telling the story of human experience. That's what the Bible gives us. And what's great about the stories of the Bible is that these are stories of the same God in a different culture. And so what it does is it helps us to break down what's unique to our culture, and it frees us up to say, these are things that God is doing in this person's life, ways that God is leading them. And the connections we find, we know, aren't cultural because we don't share a culture. The connections we find have to be deeper. And so the connections we find with the stories we hear here are going to be connections that God is giving us to help us understand what's going on. And so these stories then become pictures for us. They become examples. And this is why it's so important to be reading the Bible and to be familiar with the stories. This is one of the reasons why we're doing this big series as a church, is because these stories give us examples that then we can live by. So the first thing I think we need is we need examples. The second thing, though, that we need, if we're going to make decisions, is we need a community. We need people around us that are wrestling with the same types of decisions, using the same types of factors to make them. And that's what we want to be. We want to be a community that is wrestling with trying to make good decisions that honor God in our culture and helping each other out with that. Because even when you have good examples, it's not clear. What's a good decision here? What's a good decision there? And so this is what we are for each other. And this is already what we are for each other. I know this goes on all the time. You struggle with a decision, so you call someone up, or you go out to coffee or lunch, or you talk to somebody. This is what we do for each other. So we want YAF to be a place where we are wrestling with stuff together, but also the larger church. And this is one of the things that we want to be true of our young adult fellowship, is that we're not just a fellowship of young adults. We are connected to a church, and we are part of a church. And most of you guys are really involved at this church, and I applaud you for that. But that's the other benefit of being part of a church, is you get to know people older than you and younger than you and in different types of jobs than you and from different backgrounds. And those are the people that can help you as you're struggling with making decisions. So there's several people that hang out here at YAF, like Mark and Jane and Janice, that are here to hang out and to talk with you about stuff. And then there's a wealth of people at the church that would love to be involved. And if there's connections you'd like to be made with, hey, do you know anybody that is a lawyer that struggled with this? I can help with that. Mark can help with that. We can help put you in touch with people that might be able to help you make decisions. So because decisions are complicated, we need examples and we need a community. So that's all we're really going to talk about tonight. I kind of wanted to just whet our appetites a little bit.